So the block party started at the organization's 100 anniversary back in 2022 when GWF turned 100. So we've kind of continued doing it. And this year, like I mentioned, we're adding on its 250th birthday into the mix. And our public programs manager has been doing an incredible job at gathering both exterior and interior people to talk about Kenmore and all the aspects of Kenmore that we love and appreciate so much. So like you said, you get to see kind of a close-up, in-depth look at all the things about Kenmore that you probably know and love, but you get to learn a little bit more. So we have everything from our archaeologists doing kind of a touch and sensory table. We've done archaeology at Kenmore in the past, so they're talking a little bit about that. We also have our curator who's going to have some special collections items that you can see up close in the visitor center. And then we also have different historic trades demonstrators that are talking about different aspects of Kenmore that are really special to it. So we have somebody doing plaster demos and talking about plaster, which is really important to Kenmore, paint demos, masonry. And we also have Steve Dietrich, who has worked on reproduction furniture for us, not only in the Washington House when that was recreated, but also he's working on a project for Kenmore's Kitchen. We recently got a grant from Americana Corner to kind of revamp the historic kitchen at Kenmore, which is not original, but is a structure that we utilize for programming. And he's building us a new work table that we desperately need in order to work in that space like we have been in recent years. So we have four different trades demonstrators talking about different things that go into Kenmore, and then so much more. Living history people, community groups. There's just so much going on that it's hard to name everything in one go.
Well, one of the things I saw, which I'd never seen this before, I didn't know, Kenmore has 317,000 bricks.
Yes.
That is amazing.
And what's even cooler about that is that all of those bricks were made by hand by, we think, indentured servants on the property. So that clay was dug out of the ground on the property of Kenmore and then fired in a kiln on site. So all of those bricks were made from the ground under Kenmore, which is incredible and fascinating. And there's so many of them. I can't even imagine how long that process took.
Yeah. That just that number, I looked at it and I thought, is that wrong? Am I reading that wrong or understanding it wrong?
No, it's, you know, it is a Georgian style house, meaning that it's incredibly symmetrical and it's made completely out of brick on the exterior. And then if you look at like the doorways inside, you can see just how thick those doorways are. And there's more brick on the interior as well. Huh. So it's fascinating. And it is 250 years old. And obviously a lot of work has gone into the restoration of the building. But I mean, it's a sturdy brick house. They don't make them like they used to. And it's going to take a lot to bring Kenmore down. So hopefully it survives another 250 plus years under our stewardship and even more than that. So that's kind of the goal, preserving and remembering all the history that Kenmore has been through in its 250 years.
And it did get hit by cannonballs, so it is really sturdy.
Yes.
Yeah.
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 Got hit by cannonballs. Oh no, there's a bunch.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bunch. I can't. You remember the numbers?
I don't know, but you know, one. It has Civil War history, not only Revolutionary War history, but the Civil War history, because Fredericksburg was, of course, straight in the middle of that, and one, you know, came in through the drawing room wall. Or window, bounced off the wall, and then, you know, landed. And that's why some of our ceilings, especially in that drawing room, are quite damaged. Of course, they've been restored, but you can still see some of the damage from those cannonballs and the impact that they had on the house. So, yeah, it's not only the Revolution, but it's the Civil War history. It's all of the history through the past 250 years that Fredericksburg has seen. Kenmore has also seen that history, too. In the past, when Kenmore was originally made into a museum in 1922 by the Kenmore Association, those ladies basically, they took a different approach to museums than we have now. They basically put a bunch of antiques that they had, that they acquired with really no rhyme or reason or much research behind it, into the house. So when you went into the house, you weren't really getting a full picture of what it would have been like during the Lewis occupation. So the ceilings were, of course, original and something that you could talk about as the original structure. But now we've done so much research into what was it actually like during that Lewis occupation, all the scientific information and research that has gone into it, you know, all the paint analysis, all of the information about the carpet fibers and the wallpaper that's in the drawing room is flocked, and we know that it was. There's just so much interesting scientific information that has gone into Kenmore, as well as, you know, research into the decorative arts and different pieces of furniture that we believe might have been in there based on Fielding Lewis's probate inventory and other documents that we have in Kenmore's collection. So I think we do it really well. Both of our properties are really unique in the area because we have based both Kenmore's restoration and the reconstruction of the Washington House on the facts that we have. We've pieced it together to give you a picture of what those houses would have looked like in the 18th century as best as we can.
Yeah, no, it is. That just adds to the to the whole thing. And I didn't realize that I never even asked about this. Just, you know, how did Kenmore receive its name? Mm-hmm. And I see that it came from a name of a castle in Scotland.
Yeah, so during the Lewis occupation, it probably just would have been the Lewis Plantation or something like that.
Yeah.
So the Kenmore name that we now associate so much with the house didn't come until slightly later. The Gordon family owned the property in the 19th century, the early 19th century, after the Lewis family sold it. And they have Scottish roots, and their like Scottish ancestral home was Kenmorel. So that's where the Kenmore name that we associate now so much with this home came from. So it's interesting that, you know, same thing kind of with Ferry Farm. I mean, the Ferry Farm property was not Ferry Farm when the Washingtons were there. It would have been the Washington Plantation or the Washington home. We call it the home farm, the home house, whatever. So that Ferry Farm name came a little bit later. So same kind of thing with Kenmore. And it's really interesting that we still associate it so much with that name that's not technically original to the house.
Saturday, it really is a chance to see all of this up close.
Yeah, you can kind of delve into the details. Like you mentioned, the plasterwork ceilings are one of Kenmore's like well-known traits. I always tell people, you know, don't forget to look up when you're in Kenmore.
Right. Because
they are quite beautiful and amazing and something that you don't see every day. So we do have somebody that's going to talk a little bit about plasterwork and, you know, the kind of preservation that goes into plasterwork ceilings and other plaster and historic homes, like in walls and things like that. So we also have somebody that's talking about different paints that would have been used in the 18th century. Of course, Kenmore is really colorful on the inside. We have different kinds of wallpapers and different colors of paint that are kind of unique and interesting. Maybe not so much in the 18th century. You do see those greens and blues and different colors, but it is a really, you know, interesting thing to think about the natural dyes and colors that you see in paint. And then we also have somebody talking about masonry, which is like the stone foundations.
Yeah.
You know, our big portico porch is not original to the Kenmore house. It was added on slightly later in the 19th century, but it is still a piece of Kenmore that has been saved because it's, you know, it's sandstone and it is still part of the historic structure. So it's really interesting to kind of see all the bits and pieces of Kenmore and its creation up close and personal, and talk to those tradespeople that are masters in their trades in such a specialized area.
Well, and you talk about colonial American wanting to see it and understand it up close. This is really a great opportunity.
Yeah. I think learning about colonial history is so important nowadays. And then being able to learn firsthand from a structure that's been here 250 years, we have people that are interpreting everyday life. So we have several like living history groups. We have the Rappahannock Colonial Heritage Society, which talks about everyday life in the 18th century, as well as, you know, games and clothing and different things. We also have homesteading group from Stafford County, which is younger children who are learning about different trades and life as a child in the 18th century. which is really fun to see, you know, children dressed in living history attire for the 18th century. And, you know, it gives kids a little bit more a perspective of, you know, this is a child my age doing something that would have been done in the 18th century. So it gives them something to relate to, as well as the UMW Living History Club. So those are students that are really into history and living history and learning more about life in different time periods as well. So you get to not only see the structure, but also people that are interpreting life from that time period as well.
There's going to be a lot going on.
Yeah, we're going to be busy.
On Saturday.
For sure, yeah.
$5 adults, $5 adults, children 17 and under are free.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a very affordable day for people to come and really get a firsthand view of everything.
Right. We want to make this event accessible to the community. So if you're in the community, if you're outside of the community, we just want to make Kenmore a welcoming place for everybody, especially on Block Party Day. And you do get to walk through the house. We have an abbreviated walkthrough house tour available for everybody. So this is the best deal around, $5 for adults and free for anybody under 18. You get to see the house and all the glory that is Kenmore for a little bit less on Block Party Day.